Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
Wow, Nick, who are you talking about? My gosh, does not feel true, but that's very generous. Thank you so much. You know, today, so many of you around the room have been sending me notes this week, you know, praying and sending me verses or a song. Wait, hearing that? It's kind of some feedback. And I just want to tell you, they've come at such timely moments. And it's not been easy, I'll have to say, getting this together. It's been hard slugging and pushing. I'll be very honest. And last week, Terrell, he's not here today, but he spoke on spiritual warfare. And I felt like I was living it and have been for a few weeks as I've been just poring over Ephesians. And so, you know, with that, you know, here we are today. You don't want to set the bar low. Don't have high expectations. I'm not Pastor Amy. But today, I'm just simply going to share with you what God has been highlighting to me. And the book of Ephesians is really rich and full of so many promises of who we are, of our inheritance, and really the riches and the extravagant love of God for us. And so today, you know, we'll just pause and pray a moment and trust that God is going to bring a greater revelation for me, for you, of his love for us and his call in our lives today. So Lord, we just lift up your name, exalt you, and recognize that all good and perfect things come from you. And so today I just lay my imperfect plans and intentions to you. And I ask you, Lord, that the words spoken today would be from you. Anything from me, Lord, would people just forget that they'd vaporize. But Lord, I ask that your word would go forth and just invite your spirit to hover, to move, to minister in each and every one of us today, to bring us to a greater revelation of the understanding and knowledge of your love, your extravagant love for us. In Jesus' name. So as Nick said, today I get to wrap up Ephesians. We've been going through this all winter, and it really is a bit of a privilege to do that, because Amy had said, you know, it can be a summary, it can be anything. So unfortunately for those that know me really well, that's actually a bad thing to have options this wide. It just sends me down the rabbit hole of investigating a million things. So until I was able to kind of corral all those ideas and just really lean into God to what is he highlighting in this, and it brings me to the closing of Ephesians. So Paul starts his letter with a blessing of peace to the people, and he ends it with a blessing of peace and a challenge. So in Ephesians 6, 23 to 24, it says, peace, which is total wellness and wholeness over you, brethren, and love with faith, which comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Just need to raise this up here. And I just want to focus on the last verse, actually the last two words. Those were the words that really gripped me, and I kept going around that. And God kept bringing me back to incorruptible love. So I'll read that one more time. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. So what exactly is that? What is incorruptible love? So I, you know, like I do, a deep dive into what exactly does that mean for us? Because this is a call. Paul is actually calling us to love Jesus with this incorruptible love. It is defined as pure and not corrupted with selfish motives. That's from 1 Peter 1:22. It is enduring, resilient through trials and suffering. It never fails. That's found in 1 Corinthians 13. It is unwavering, and it does not grow cold. Matthew 24:12. It is faithful and loyal. His love is steadfast, never failing, found in Lamentations. Incorruptible love is sincere, it's genuine, without hypocrisy, from Romans 12:9. And incorruptible means it is not subject to decay. It's imperishable. 1 Peter 1:4. It is rooted in eternity, everlasting. Ultimately, incorruptible love is unconditional love. This is how God loves us, in an incorruptible love. So, you know, as I looked at this passage again, so I asked myself, do I have the ability or capacity to love in this way? To love with an incorruptible love? Honestly, I do not. Very little. In fact, nothing that I do in my day on my own strength is motivated with perfectly pure motives, with incorruptible motives, if I'm honest. Left to my own, even the seemingly good things are tainted by pride, maybe fear, a desire for significance, or a desire to look good, or even transactional. What will I get in return if I love someone or something? So even in the seemingly good things, my efforts are at the very best, they're partially self-serving. So where does this leave us? Because I'm assuming there may be some of you here in the room that, like me, have selfish motives. We're you know, subject to our human condition. And so it is impossible on our own strength to love this way, in an unconditional way, in an incorruptible way. It is impossible. The bottom line, we are all subject to our humanness, the human frailty and our condition. That's the bad news. I'm not here today to kind of leave us hanging in this really desperate place. But the good news is that Jesus has made a way for us. Ephesians provides the truth that everything we need to live this life is found and rooted and hinged in Jesus, in his incorruptible love for us. Ephesians is so full of rich statements for believers of the promises of what we have when we're found in him. So I'll go through some of them. Now this is picking up on identity, and that we talked about at the beginning of Ephesians. I think Richard spoke on that. I heard you earlier in the room somewhere. In love, he has chosen and adopted us in his love. In him, we are redeemed and we're forgiven. That was done once and for all, as we're celebrating next week. That was done. It was finished. In him, he has sealed and empowered us as believers with the power of the Holy Spirit. That power that's in us, that promise as believers, is the same power that raised him from the dead. That same power. I don't understand that, but that is the truth. That same incredible, outrageous power that raised him from the dead is in us. In him we are saved by his grace. That's a free gift. And we know this, but I think we need to be reminded. There is no thing that we can do in this life to earn it. Isn't that a relief? It is for me. In him we are fully accepted and included in God's promises. it's available for all people. And as Paul in Ephesus at the time, it was such the mystery revealed that it was not only the promise of salvation for the Jews, but also the Gentiles. That's us. We are the Gentiles. No one is excluded. In him, he sees us as holy and blameless. He is our peace, our total well-being and wholeness. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is peace. In him, we are created for a divine purpose. In him, we are being transformed into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, his resting place. Imagine that. It's just, I don't understand this. In him, we are seated in heavenly places. And in him, we have every spiritual blessing. And the most important thing is we are so dearly loved. We are so loved with an unconditional and extravagant love. And in this world of so many needs and wants, that's the thing we all desire, to be loved and accepted. And that is his promise to us as believers. Deeply loved, forgiven, accepted, and redeemed. God calls us to live and love in this way, but he also empowers us to do it through our inheritance. I just, highlighted the things that are in Ephesians at the beginning as believers, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't call us to something that he doesn't equip us for. Yet in all of that, these promises, so extravagant, so available to us, there is a part that we do and we are required to play in this. We do have a part that we have to do. And I know we don't want to make it about works, but this part is an act of surrender, act of our will. And that's the whole thing about God. When he created us, he gave us a free will. We get to choose. And in this, we get to choose to surrender to him. And that's the intentional part. A willingness to surrender every area of our life. There's a name for this. An intentional, surrendered life is really the consecrated life. And so this is something, this consecrated life, the word, and some of you around the board table, I've talked about this, my family, my husband hears this way too much. It's just a word that God has highlighted for me as of late, in the last number of months, calling me to this deeper place with him, to lay all the things down. And it's just like layers, keeps, what about this? You're still hanging on to this. You're still going around that wagon with this. I'm calling you to this place of freedom. Are you ready to let it go? Are you ready? And so that's my story, and it's in progress. And I think it will be for the rest of my life. But it is, he gives us what we need to walk that out. So when I say this term consecrated, that sounds a little bit religious. And I don't mean it that way, but let's just look at what consecrated and the consecrated life really means. In Romans 12:1, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It's with intention, again, an act of our will. Present, offer up to God, letting go. Ephesians 4:22-23 says, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. So what is the consecrated life? It's about intentional surrender, daily surrender, obedience, and devotion to God. It's not a one-time event. It's being transformed. So it's an in motion, in progress, being transformed by the Holy Spirit, being made holy like he is holy. It's about being set apart for God's purposes. It's about living confessionally. When we mess up and we will. Just bringing it to the foot of the cross, just a constant laying it down to God. He's not surprised, he's not disappointed in us, he's not going to say, okay, we've been around this wagon 10 times, that's it. It's just constantly his grace is just always available. It's about extending forgiveness. As we have been forgiven, he calls us to forgive others, to forgive those that have wronged us. It's about walking in love and unity and living in our identity, embracing it, claiming it, putting a stake in the ground over it. It's a promise that God gave to us. He never relents on his promises. It's something that we can stand assured on. I'm forgiven. No, when the enemy chirps back, what about that? No, that is at the foot of the cross, to not keep pulling you back and distracting and trying to speak a different narrative over your life. And it's about knowing and embracing how dearly loved we are. And when we live in that place and receive the love, that extravagant love of us, and just really live in it, let him permeate us, it's out of that overflow that we can do that and love other people the way that Jesus loves us. It's about pressing on to maturity. Paul says this in Ephesians 2. So he has a lot of things that kind of call us out of the shadows. And pressing on to maturity is in Ephesians 4:13. And really, it's about letting go of the things, the old things, and moving on to maturity. It's also about not giving the enemy an opportunity, about short accounts. And Terrell spoke on spiritual warfare last week. And we need to remember that the battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. We make it about people. The enemy loves to get us into that trap that it's about people. But the enemy's plan is to kill, steal, and destroy, to bring disunity, discord, dissension. And we see it play out in marriages, in families, in communities, even in our church and churches. That is such a disservice for our testimony. So God calls us to walk in love and unity. So we do need to remember this battle is not against people, not against flesh and blood, but it's about the battle against spiritual powers and authority. And he gives us what we need, as Terrell pointed out, in the spiritual armor in Ephesians 6. We're given that. I'll just share a quick story. We went to a prayer conference in January with a couple from our church. Didn't get their permission to say their names, so I won't name names. Just looking at you. And I just wanted to share that because it was a story. One of the pastors that shared was from a church in Scotland, from the Hebrides, Stornoway, the church was. And her and her husband are a pastoral team, and they had been praying and contending for a move of God in their church. And she shared on spiritual warfare. And when they were pressing in and praying, how much pressure and discouragement, despair came to them against themselves personally, against their marriage, against their family, against their church, against their community. And they kept on prevailing in prayer, prevailing in spiritual warfare, where she said, almost to the point of despairing. And God said to her, if you do anything else, stand. We're called to stand. So, sorry. I'll say this. If you're facing some kind of opposition, take heart. And ask yourself, what great purpose is the enemy trying to keep you from? What great purpose is the enemy trying to keep you from if you're feeling that intense pressure and you know that it's outside, spiritual? God has something for you. So push through. Don't give up. So for them, their story was such that the outcome of that was this great move of God in their church. And so her story was about the momentum of that and what they had to travail through for that outcome. So it wasn't easy. Revival takes work, takes our concerted effort of leaning into the Lord. Consecration is really a heart posture that makes space for God in our lives. It cultivates a hunger for God. And that hunger is because we're making room for Him. When we start laying all the things down at the foot of the cross, it's making space for Jesus instead of our own intentions and fears and worries. It's making space for His light to shine in to bring healing, restoration, and freedom. That's what this is all about, the cross. He didn't die for us to keep going around the same things day in and day out. He died for our freedom, for our wholeness, for our restoration. So it's this gift. He's just holding it out there for us to grab it, take it, embrace it, and live it. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." At this prayer conference as well, Altars in New York City that we were at, it was quite a neat experience being in a room with so many thousand people of different denominations, traditions all over the world, of one mind, pressing into the Lord for more. And there was such a large contingent from Canada that they acknowledged, had a stand up, prayed for us, blessed our nation, blessed our church. It was felt very significant. So why am I telling you this? Do you even care? And it seems like a little bit irrelevant to this, but yet I want to share this with you because it's another way that God was highlighting to me this theme of living a consecrated life. And I felt like being at that conference and what was imparted to us was also not for just Travis and I personally or Jay and Cheryl, but it's to bring it here to us too, because God has this for all of us, an invitation. And the theme was the consecrated life again. And there was a call to lean into Him, to be intentional about your relationship with the Lord, to make Him a priority in your life, a call to worship and exalt the Lord in our life daily, a call to prayer and fasting, not just fasting from our phone, not just fasting from a movie, but like serious intentional fasting. Okay, I haven't been able to do that, be very honest. I'm a work in progress, honest. It's a call to confession and repentance. When I say that, that is never meant to sound like punishment. That always sounds like a heavy hammer, confession and repentance. But really, it's a doorway to freedom. That's what it is. God's invitation to let go. Give it to Him. It's a burden we no longer are required to carry. It also was a call to forgiveness. Forgive ourselves for things at times we struggle to do, and also to extend that forgiveness to others. And I'll share just very briefly my own story of forgiveness, and this happened a while back, and it's again a work in progress, but you know, I became a Christian while I was at university, and it was really life-changing, the Lord in my life. I was looking for peace and found Him in the person of Jesus. And in that, like, my life was radically changed. I think my mom could testify that it kind of freaked them out a little bit. Came home with a Bible from university and telling everybody about Jesus. Had no idea that, you know, people don't normally do that. And excited about what God was doing in my life. So excited I couldn't not tell people about Him. And then life happened, and years went by, and His voice became a little quieter and quieter, and it felt like dimming in my life, and maybe a little bit gray at times spiritually. And I thought, I want that hunger and desire and that connection and intimacy with the Lord again, but I didn't know how to get there. And so it was a story of forgiveness. And so I met for counsel, and this person just asked me, do you think there's anybody in your life you might need to forgive? And, you know, I thought for all of, 5 seconds and said, honestly, I don't think so. Nope. You sure? I'm quite sure. So they wisely instructed me to go home, pray, and ask God to show you if there's anything in your life that you might, anyone in your life you may need to forgive. So I reminded that person, I'm actually don't hear from God. I'll pray, but I really doubt he's actually gonna speak to me. The next day, I mean, I'm a rule follower, so I prayed the prayer, had low expectations. The next morning, driving to work, I had a vision. It felt like it was really happening. So I guess that would be in the category of a vision. As I was driving, this big dump truck came over top of my vehicle, landed on the road in front, stopped. The backup beeper engaged. You know how those big trucks, the noise? The dump truck part was heaped with debris. And the box started to lift. And it started to come up, and this stuff started coming out over top of my vehicle and over me. In that vehicle, in that box, were all of these things in here that I didn't know existed. Unforgiveness, bitterness, like hurt, just a whole plethora of stuff. And, a lot of it to my poor husband was when you're in relationship with someone, that's the first person is the one that you hold all this stuff against. At that moment, it was overwhelming what I saw in my heart. But it was also not a condemnation to me. God wasn't saying, look at your evil heart. What I felt was, this was an invitation into freedom from all of that. It was an invitation. And at that moment, it was a process of working through forgiving and being forgiven. And it renewed and restored my heart like never before. I was hearing his voice again. It was inspiring and enlightening, and it was like I was made alive again in Christ because of that. So I share that story to encourage you, and for me it's ongoing, but it also was very enlightening, is that I didn't want to let my life get that far again, where I was hanging on to things, and it keeps building and building and building until you've got this mountain in front of that you don't even know how it started, where to go from there. I wanted to keep short accounts. I don't do that perfectly, but I didn't want to go back to that place because I long for that relationship with the Lord that is real, vibrant, and intimate with him. Now, I'll just insert a little anecdotal trivia fact here, is that recently, and you may have seen in the news, there's been some colleges in the States where a revival has been taking place. And it's at Asbury and another university lately, SEU it's called, it's in Texas, I believe, where these gatherings started with worship. And they were college gatherings, that age demographic, started with worship. And then it rolled into confession. And then it rolled into repentance publicly. And God moved and broke in. People were getting free. People were getting saved. People were experiencing healing. It was a place, a great place of revival and restoration. Restoration. And it started with confession, repentance. Letting go of this stuff that keeps us in prison and in bondage. God is looking for hearts that are hungry for him. God goes where he is wanted. That's a quote from A.W. Tozer, who's an Alliance pastor, theologian. Psalm 139:23-24. Just feel like to pray this over us, God, that you would search us, O God, and know our hearts. try us, and know our anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in us, and lead us in the everlasting way. That was my prayer, and God highlighted those things to me, not to punish me, but to bring me into freedom, because his desire for our freedom is greater than our own. I'm quite certain of it. As we come to a close today, I just want to encourage you to ask the Lord if he's highlighting anything in you today. Is there something that you're carrying? What is this? Yeah, sorry, that you don't have to. I'll share this one other story that one Sunday morning I'd prayed. I often ask God, just would you give me your perspective? And he shows up in some really unusual ways that when I pray that way. And it was a Sunday morning, and we were in church worshiping, and it was beautiful. Some people had their hands raised. And then all of a sudden in the room, this vision happened, and it appeared like these gunny sacks, backpacks were popping up on people's backs. So people that were hands raised and all of a sudden were posture was kind of bent over because of the weight of this gunny sack that looked like heavy rocks or something in it. It was weighing them down like this. And I looked around the room and it was like popcorn in the room popping up on people's backs, and I'm sure it was on my own. And as I saw that, I thought, Lord, what is this? This is very strange. And what are you saying to me? And he said, we just don't know who we are. And I thought, yeah, that's right. What are we carrying that we don't have to carry? Because the finished work of the cross says he bore that for us, his sacrifice. We do not have to pack this stuff around. It is not our burden to carry. So if God may be highlighting something in you today, maybe something that you're carrying in that backpack that's not yours to carry, his hands are open and will take that for you. You might be something or somewhere that you feel stuck in your life. Maybe this morning Jesus is calling you out of complacency into a more intentional walk with him. So when I ask these questions, this is to me too, just so you know. I'm not up here like I've got this all figured out. This is to me as well. So hear me say that. This is not about condemnation. This is about an invitation. So maybe a question would be to ask the Lord, is there anything competing for our attention and affections? Are there things that are out of order in our life? Maybe they're in a place above our relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's an unhealthy concern or focus on our finances. We live in a world that looks a little uncertain these days and can cause us to go to a lot of fear. Or maybe it's fear over our children and their future. That can take up a lot of head space and heart space, that focus. Perhaps it's an unrelenting drive for significance outside of who he says we are. Or it could even be a significant relationship that has become preeminent over your relationship with the Lord. Again, something out of godly order. All of these things are good things. Family, relationships, our children. He cares about our finances. But it's all about godly order in our life. Maybe you're unable to embrace who you are in Christ, or maybe unwilling to believe the truth of who he says you are. You might want to ask him why. Why is that? And I can assure you, he will answer. Don't be surprised. I love it. Because God loves to answer those kinds of prayers. He loves it. Maybe you struggle believing that he is good or that he loves you. Again, ask the question. He's never offended. And maybe you've been stuck for a long time and he's calling you to maturity. Maybe you've been unwilling to forgive, and today is a day, it's an opportunity to just let that go, release it unto him. Maybe you've been stuck because you've been unable to move past disappointment. And that disappointment was significant and worthy of grief. Worthy of grief. But now you're stuck and it's keeping you from all he has for you. Maybe he's calling you this morning to surrender ungodly things, things that you're holding on to. And again, this is to me, I'm speaking this over me as well. It could be things like offense. It's sneaky. Comes, you know, we've been hurt, it's legitimate, we're offended, become unforgiving. It all starts in a legitimate, real place. Maybe it's something materialism that we are holding on to in an ungodly way. Maybe it's unhealthy relationships, could be secret sin. Nothing secret with the Lord, but we might be hanging on to it. We don't need to. It could be pride. It could be partnering with a victim spirit. And maybe it's fear and symptoms of fear, which are control and manipulation. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Hear that. Above all the things, no condemnation. That's so important that we hear that. He loves us so much. So today, this is really an invitation for you and for me to step into greater levels of freedom with the Lord, to experience his kindness and his goodness in a great way, to not only understand here in our head, but in our heart, his love for us. It's an invitation. So as the worship team comes up, let's consider this invitation. Just be seeking the Lord, even while we're worshiping. He's quick to answer. And ask him, you know, is there something that is stirring in your heart that he's calling you to today to bring freedom to you today?
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you'd like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgealliancechurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ, and then make him known.